For this evening is taken from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, according to our life, in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we were made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Glad you're back this evening. And we have a number who are back from being out of town, so we're thankful for your safe arrival home. Tonight, as we study together, we're continuing with our look at the fruit of the Spirit, and we come to the quality of kindness tonight. And we see kindness throughout the Scriptures, most of course, especially shown to us, demonstrated to us in the actions of God toward humanity, what God has done for us, the great kindness outpoured repeatedly throughout history, and most especially in what He did in bringing about our redemption. So we've been looking at Galatians chapter 5, where Paul urges the brethren, live your lives according to the ways of the Holy Spirit as set forth, chapter 5, verse 16. And of course, he warns against the consequences of choosing to walk according to the ways of the flesh. He says, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, verse 21. But then there's this fruit of the Spirit. Against such, he says, there is no law, verse 23. And thus, all of these seen in the life of Christ very clearly, and yet self-examination is needed. Because the reality is each one of us, with all of these, must make an effort to develop and have them in fullness. These are not suggestions. These are the ways of the Spirit that are to be the ways of those who call upon Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as Master of our lives. And therefore, this kindness is such a quality that we need to develop. The word is Christates, and it means the quality of being helpful or beneficial, translated as goodness, kindness, generosity at times. It is also defined as the quality of being warm-hearted, considerate, humane, gentle, and sympathetic. So you think of those very beautiful words. You think about what Christ did in the laying down of His life. Kindness has touched all of our lives, the kindness of God. And then we're to look at that and the wonderful examples of it in Scripture, not only in the life of Christ and in what God did, but we see it in the actions and the behaviors and the actions of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the first century, but others in the Old Testament period. Because of their actions, it stand out as examples of this kind of demeanor. So we're going to study, first of all, tonight and look at the kindness that we have from God. Back in the very beginning, we know when the fruit was eaten, sin entered into the world. And essentially, it's been that way ever since. We continue, as human beings, to transgress by taking that which God has forbidden or neglecting what God has commanded of us. But sin is a problem for all of us. And thus, the kindness of God is seen when we think about what He has done for us. When we think about that definition, that it is warm-hearted, considerate, humane, gentle, and sympathetic. God is very sympathetic toward mankind and what we have done to ourselves. Yet He knew it would happen. It was a part of His plan to make us creatures that could one day inherit eternity. But today, here and now, it's training time, time of hardships to be faced, struggles to go through, temptations to be faced and to be fought against and overcome. And yet, we see again what God has done to help us through this. And it's His kindness that Paul wrote about, which we just read from Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. For we ourselves were once, and then he describes human life. This is the tendency that we have. This is what Adam and Eve started, and of course, if it wasn't them, it would have been someone else, but it's just the nature of how the flesh against the spirit struggles, which we all relate to. But we were all once, what, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Notice what he says, serving. Because when you, in fact, give yourself over to sin, you are a servant or a slave to sin. People often in this life think, man, I am free to do whatever I want to do. I don't have all you Christian rules and regulations. Actually, that's the person who's enslaved. They are a slave to their passions and their desires and their lusts, and they're going to be destroyed by it, but they don't realize it. He says, this is what we were. We were serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But here's where God steps in. We are living in just ugliness. We are living in self-destruction. We are seeking to destroy one another. But then when the kindness, there's that same word, and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, then what? He saved us. By His mercy, He saved us. It was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it was, he says, according to His mercy that He saved us. Through what? The washing of regeneration, baptism, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, His work upon the heart that He does through the Word, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. There was during those days an outpouring of the Spirit, but the end result, of course, of God's work upon the human heart through His Word is justification, He says, by grace, that we should become, look at this, heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the kindness of God. Look at what God has done. Here we are, creatures of free will, doing what we have chosen to do. Here's the will of God, and this is not, there are some clearly that don't know better and just have been brought up in sin and corruption, but even those who know better. Look at the children of Israel, delivered from Egyptian bondage, saw the great power and works and wonders of God, and even on the way, look at their demeanor, their attitudes, their sin, their unbelief. This is what they did. They didn't appreciate what God did for them. But God has always shown His kindness toward us in so many ways, by providing for all of our needs, most importantly our spiritual needs, through His Son Jesus Christ. So we need to realize just exactly what we have to be grateful for. Ephesians 2:7 reminds us as well that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In the ages, here he's writing, during the first century, church has been established, but he writes about in the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. So even the periods that continue to go on, just in terms of the years we have left on this earth, yes, God shows His kindness, but think about what is in store for us beyond this life. And how that through Jesus Christ and what He has made possible, there are things yet to be revealed that are going to show just how kindness, sympathetic, humane, and loving that God is toward us in what He has prepared, which we are one day going to receive. Romans 5 and verse 8, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We see the actions of God. Look at this is the God who demonstrates this quality of the Spirit toward us, the kindness. We're sinners. We reject Him. We do our own will. Christ died for us in that condition. Speaking of Christ, Peter said in 1 Peter 1:20, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And in Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb of Life, or written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we think about the great kindness of God toward humanity. And over again we see actions, we see the giving of what we don't deserve, whether it be the salvation and deliverance many times throughout history for peoples in troubles that were humbled and turned back to Him, or whether we're talking about today and what we have through Jesus Christ and the hope that we can lay hold of and live with every single day because of what Christ did for us. This is the result of the kindness of God toward us. But all that we see in God that has been poured out upon us so abundantly, we are in turn to take and to bestow upon others and to show them what a Christian is. And a part of that is this particular quality that we're looking at tonight. Wouldn't it be great if each and every one of us in our interactions with people at work, just wherever we happen to be, that after we leave, they say to someone they know, "I met this person and they're one of the kindest people I've ever met." Just because of how we spoke to them, treated them, communicated in a certain way to convey care, interest in them as people and their souls even. This is something that can be shown by how we conduct our affairs, how we speak and treat and behave toward other people. Kindness is something certainly that we can grow in. Again, think of these qualities that define the word and reflect upon self for a moment. So here is the quality of being helpful or beneficial: being warm-hearted, considerate, humane, gentle, sympathetic. So we ask ourselves, are these words that describe me, how I treat other people, when I interact with people? And again, it's not just the people that are easy to do that to. We're to be kind to all people. If we're to love our enemies, then we're to be kind toward our enemies too. This is behavior that's not based upon what did I get, and therefore, okay, I'll give you kindness. I'll be this way toward you. This is the nature of God toward man in general, even those who sin against Him. His desire is that His kindness will move them to turn to Him with humility. God, through Paul, reminds us in Colossians chapter 3, as Christians, the elect, as the chosen ones of God, we're to clothe ourselves with certain qualities that are characteristic of, they're becoming of, children of God. So in verse 12, look at what he says. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on," notice, put on, so this is something that is a part of your character, he's saying, "tender mercies," here's our word, "kindness," same Greek word, "humility," meekness, long-suffering, in verse 12. So, character and qualities that we are obligated to develop, cultivate in our life. This is the nature of God. Therefore, children of God must take on the qualities of the Father and of His Son. Paul reminds us here in this context, in verses 3 and 5, we're to be dead to sin because it's against God, and that God's wrath will fall on those who live in disobedience, verse 6. And among the many sins that Paul mentions in this text here, in Colossians 3, are anger, wrath, and malice. Look at verse 8. These are things that are directly opposed to the ways of kindness. So if I find that I'm a person that is triggered by things that happen, and I respond instead of with kindness in return for the hostility, ugliness, whatever it is that I got, and that's something I have to work on. God's laws, as we can see here, they regulate our character. They regulate our personalities, how we interact with other people. So we cannot examine ourselves and say, well, you know, this is just how I am. I'm just this kind of person. Because if our behavior and our way of dealing with other people doesn't conform to what God shows us that the inner man is supposed to be, then we have to change our inner man. We have to become what we read of here. These are the ways of the Spirit, the ways of deity that we must follow. Paul teaches that one of the qualities of true love, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is this idea of kindness. Last week we talked about long-suffering. So there in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love suffers long, and then here it is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. So what would we do as Christians if we're trying to show kindness in life and things happen, things go wrong? What do you do? Well, you have Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There are acts of kindness. Those are kind deeds put into practice if we follow the teaching here that says when your enemy rises up against you, when something happens, don't give, you know, evil for evil. Give good for evil. Turn around and show kindness to people who have persistently in the past done wrong to you. Reach out with love and kindness. Show through the actions that you do, through the words that you speak, toward the way that you are toward them, that no matter what they do, you're just going to be the Christian that God calls you to be. You're consistently going to be that way toward them. That's developing the Christ-like character of kindness. And kindness is to be shown to everyone, again, as our Father has done. Remember Matthew 5:45, He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. But we're told, Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Listen to that. Love your enemies, do good, lend to your enemy, expecting nothing in return. A kind deed done to someone who they just don't like me. They just have it out for me. But we need to have Christ's heart toward them, no matter what. We're told, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4, verse 32. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, this text we know well, whatever you want men to do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, what we call the golden rule. Living according to that way is living according to the ways of kindness. An interesting point that is made concerning God's kindness, or it's translated in the passage we're about to look at, the same Greek word is translated as goodness, but it's the same idea, same word, is that God's goodness depends upon, toward us, depends upon our own continuing in the goodness of God, being faithful to Him. Listen to what Paul says. This is Romans 11, verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness, that's the same word, and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. The Jews had been given the gospel message, rejected it, turned away. The gospel is given to the Gentiles. God's goodness, His kindness, He is sympathetic towards your plight. You're lost in sin. He's reaching out to you. But you have to do what? Continue in His goodness. Otherwise, just like the Jews, unbelieving, you'll also be cut off. And so we must continue in the ways of God to be continual recipients of the goodness, the kindness of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 tells us, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps. When we are kind-hearted people like Jesus was, we're going to follow in the footsteps of the Savior. He did many things because of kindness, whether it be reaching out to the lost, tenderly leading them to the way of truth, or even opposing the hypocritical ways of the Pharisees and scribes. His kindness is seen in pointing out the error of that way, lest additional people believe it and follow it. So kindness will lead us to do things like that, to point people to the truth, but also point out the sin and the corruption that may be in their lives or the dangers of doctrinal teachings that could possibly lead them astray. Jude tells us we're to earnestly contend for the faith. Paul teaches that we, as he, are to be set for the defense of the gospel, Philippians 1 and verse 17. So true kindness does not ignore error. It does not overlook sin. It's concerned about the welfare of all people and reaches out to help with those needs. Paul showed himself to be a faithful minister of God by the kindness over and over again that in his life was demonstrated in his interactions with the people he reached out to. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6 as Paul related this concept or what he in his life demonstrated by purity, he says, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Paul gave instruction to the brethren in regard to kindness in Acts 20 and verse 35. And this is when he had spent some time in Ephesus and he was teaching them. He was imploring with the elders in particular and says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's one of the ideas that we noted was tied to the concept of kindness, that there is a sense of showing, giving that which is beneficial to others, a generosity that is involved. And so this is what we see in Paul's words here, that you understand the Christian life is about giving to others. Kindness is seen when we have that generous open hand to help people with, sure, physical needs, but most importantly, giving them the spiritual instruction they need. It might even involve rebuke or chastisement, because that is often needed by Christians as we go through life and we struggle with sin. But kindness meets those types of needs as well. And then as we think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, it again ties to that idea of kindness where the word being sympathetic is involved in that, where he says in that passage in Romans that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice, we're to weep with those who weep, a connection to our brothers and sisters in Christ, both in their times of joy and sorrow, shows a spirit that is caring toward fellow Christians. It's not just a, you know, hi, I saw you on Sunday, good to see you sort of thing, but it's a deeper connection. And this we see with those who have this bond that is urged here to have joy when others are rejoicing, to weep with them when they're going through hard times. Bear one another's burdens, Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the heavy weights that come in life, and we all have gone through them at times, we're not intended to bear those alone. We've got to seek help. I mean, I can't be helped if the struggles that I'm going through are kept secret. It may be that sometimes there are certain things that, you know, only very few are shared with, but it is important to reach out at times and to get the help that we need. And the kindness of caring Christians will aid us tremendously. It's amazing how much even just a few words can make a difference when somebody is going through a very great struggle, expressing understanding with what they're going through. That demonstration of kindness and speaking and reaching out and being willing to share in that load. You know, when you, it's certainly true that when people are going through hard times in their lives, that if you step in to get involved and to help out because you care about them, it can be a weight upon you too. But as Christians, we have to be willing to do that. That's kindness in action. To be willing to aid others and to feel those feelings and to be weighted down with some of the distressing things that people are going through. But that's fulfilling the law of Christ. And so clearly, kindness we see again and again, first of all by God toward us in what He has done and continues to do for us. And yet, seeing that should remind us, this is what I need to develop toward everyone around me, especially toward my brothers and sisters in Christ, but also toward people in this world, because here's the thing that we certainly can recognize, and that is when we show the kindness of God toward people in the world, we're going to be making an impression upon them for good for the Lord. That's the kind of treatment toward others that draws people to Christ, makes them interested in, you know, what is it that makes you the way you are? What do you believe? Where did you learn to be such a kind person? And we point them to Christ and we bring them to Jesus. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, James tells us in verse 22 of the first chapter. And that certainly applies to these qualities that we're studying. A final word on the kindness of God. It should move us to turn away from anything in our lives that is sinful and respond to Him in humility and get our lives right. Paul says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness?" That's the word we're studying tonight. "Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." What God has done for us, His extreme kindness and understanding and sympathy toward us, should make an impression upon our hearts to say, "Lord, forgive me for whatever I've done. I'm coming back to You. I'm so grateful for Your patience with me, for Your being there every time I've needed You, and the kindness of God will never leave those who keep turning back to Him." We all struggle, and sometimes we stumble. But God's kindness is seen in what He does, and it should motivate us, we're told here by Paul, to repent and come home. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, we'd ask you to think about the need to develop in your life this understanding, this awareness of where you stand spiritually, because we have a God that has taken care of the problem that is universal for human beings, the problem of sin, that leads to eternal destruction unless we avail ourselves of the kindness of God demonstrated in the giving of His Son. So what this means is that we have to believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one of God. And that through believing on Him, we can have life eternal. Turning away from sin, confessing that faith in Him, immersion in water baptism will wash away the sins that we've been guilty of, and we can be a part of then, be added to the church that the Lord established. And then faithful living. And sometimes we go astray. And sometimes maybe we're not so kind. Maybe sometimes we are the opposite of that, and we struggle with that. But God can help us. His Word strengthens us, helps us to overcome and become what we are to be. And tonight, if you're here and you need to respond to your Lord, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.